And today I'm just going to share some things that God placed in my heart, and it will be to some degree of a continuation of what I shared on Sunday, but the Lord was did it in my heart and some other things as well that was a point that was made on Sunday that the Lord began to place emphasis upon. And I just wanted to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me so that we might be able to see this clearly, because I believe he's saying something to our generation. Herein, I'm going to talk about character building within the young, but then I put in a continuum and said, and the teachable, so that you won't feel left out, those of you that's my age. But it's character building among the young, but I'll put it this way, the young at heart, those of us who still understand and realize the importance of character being built within us. And what is God doing? What is God saying? And how are we to respond to God's initiative? So you can be young, but not teachable. And you can be teachable, but not necessarily young. So that includes all of us. If you're old and teachable, you're still young at heart. But if you're young and not teachable, you become old and calloused, even though you have a few years upon the face of the earth. And the thing that we must understand is that life's experiences will teach us some invaluable lessons, things that life teach us. And it's all a part of forging our character. Because what God is in the process of doing, he isn't just getting you to a place where he can use you, but he wants to make you. He wants to use us, but he also wants to make us. He wants to develop us so that we become all that he intends for us to become. So that has to do with character building. Character is a grid on which the whole structure is built. Everything that God builds, he builds it. When he builds us, it's upon the grid of character. So then, when we talk about character, there's still this thing of character enrichment. Once we have character being developed within us, God is about enriching us so that character is being enriched. Character, and character is proven this way. It is maintaining strength under pressure. It's when you are facing your greatest challenge, when things are so heavily pressing against you, the question is, can you still maintain strength? Because it is really the test of your strength. This is the trying of your faith. And what happens when your faith is being tried, then your character is being proven. Here in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 13, I'm starting here, but I'm going to share a lot of scriptures, particularly out of the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and the like. But here in Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 13, it says, and it talks about the body of Christ, because we talked Sunday about the body. We're the body. But then it says, till we all come to the unity of the faith. And that's what he has given the gifts, the ministry gifts to us, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God. And then it says, to a perfect man. His objective is to bring us to a place where we become one whole man, one whole individual, the perfect man. Now, understand what that's really saying. Jesus Christ is the model. He is the one that we want to see expressed. So he is a perfect man, to a perfect man. And then it says, to the measure, the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we arrive at that place where Christ is not fragmented, a portion of Christ. We don't just see a portion of him or a few aspects of his personality, but we see Christ in his fullness. And then what it does, it serves as an antidote to the rest of what's being said. Because if this is not in place, what we're going to read now become the consequences. It says that we should no longer be children. In other words, immature, not growing up, not really understanding what it means to have our character develop, no longer children. And as children, look at what happens, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine anything that comes down the pike, whatever one may be saying, then we're easily moved or swayed by opinions of others or popular opinions. And then winds of doctrine, because we're not certain as to who we believe in and in whom we believe. So therefore, when a new doctrine comes down the pike, that person would become susceptible, open to that particular doctrine. He says, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But then he says, but look at this, but speaking the truth in love. You have to understand what he's saying now. Now he's saying what comes out of us is the same thing that's within us. We're speaking the truth in love. It says we're speaking the truth now. We're not compromising the truth, but we're speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth. You have to understand what he's saying in essence, what he's saying to us really. He is saying that we're not silent in relation to the truth, but we're speaking the truth. We're saying what's truthful. We're saying what God would have us to say. We're not silent, but we're speaking what God would have us to speak. But we're speaking it out of a heart of love. And understand this. And anyone with any degree of discernment will be able to distinguish the difference between a communication that comes from a heart of love and a communication that comes from a heart of vindication or hatred or any other thing. But you're saying it because you want to see things improve. You want to see life better for the person that you're speaking to. Speaking the truth in love, he says, and look what happens. As we speak the truth in love, it says that this is what happens, that we may grow up, that we mature, that we grow up in him, into him who is the head, Christ. We grow up into him. The head is Christ. And understand, so it brings us into divine order. Our whole lives are brought in divine order because, understand, without the truth being spoken, without love being on display, then there would be no way for the increase of growth to occur within the body. And we're talking about the body of Christ, but let's look at our local church. Let's look at our individual families. Let's look at every area that represents the body. Because every one of these institutions and all that is set up are microcosms of the body of Christ. But we're speaking the truth in love that we may grow up in all things who is into him who is the head, which is Christ, from whom the whole body joined and fit together, or properly fit together, by which every joint supplies the contribution that is made by each and every individual will be of such that it becomes a supply so that the entire purpose of God is being carried out by the functionality of every one of the components, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Everybody's pitching in and then causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself. And look at this, in love. So now we begin to see love released. Love expressed in a genuine way. You see, it's not manufactured, but love now, as a result of the divine order being established, we begin to see love expressed in a way that we otherwise would never see it. So that's what the Lord is saying. So now, what God does, he allows our experiences, both positive and negative experiences in life, to translate into teaching moments. Everything that we're encountering are teaching moments to understand and interpret the grace of God and the ways of God for the sake of others. It is helping us to understand, how are we going to be a minister? How are we going to minister to other people? Lest we begin to look at the things that we experience and allow not only the things we experience, but then understanding, interpreting them rightly, so that now every experience is being used in such a way so that they become something to teach us, and we interpret them rightly so that now we see the grace of God. We understand his ways, and we also understand where his grace is for the sake of others. Now we're going to go into understanding how this applies. We're going to start with young men. When I say young men, young women, young youth, young at heart, young adults, you understand, people that do not consider themselves aged. Now is that cover anybody here? I want to make sure I'm talking to the right crowd. Those that do not consider themselves aged. when you're aged, what I mean, you're so old, you say, well, you know, you can't teach an old dog any new tricks because they're so old that they're not at a place of even being open to even receive any new information, any challenging information. Okay. So I trust that we are talking to the right crowd, right? All right. So here it says here. Now, we're going to go to the book of Proverbs. I'm going to begin with the first chapter of the book of Proverbs in the first verse. And this is a teaching. This is Solomon speaking. Solomon's, the sayings of Solomon, David's son, the king of Israel. I'm going to read out a message paraphrase because I want you to see this. Here's what it says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 in the message. These are the wise sayings of Solomon, David's son, Israel's king, written down. Understand, here's a king now, the son of David. You understand the promise of God made to David. Written down so we'll know how to live well and right, to understand what life means and where it's going. Are you saying this? What life means and where life is headed, where life is going. He said, I'm writing this as a manual for living, for learning what's right and just and fair. And then he says, to teach the inexperienced the ropes and give our young people a grasp on reality. Because without the proper instructions, you will have a shady view on what's real. You will think that this is real because this is how you see it. But the truth of the matter is that doesn't necessarily mean it's real because others have interpreted it to be real, because only God is the one to determine what is real and what's not. He says, so now this is to teach the inexperienced. They've not lived enough life yet. They've not had enough experiences yet to really determine what's going on. He says, so I'm going to teach you the ropes. Have you heard folks say, young man, I'm going to teach you the ropes. But he says, and to give our young people a grasp on reality. There's something here also, listen to this now, for seasoned men and women. They leave y'all out. They leave me out. They leave us out, the rest of us. He says, something in this for even seasoned men and women. He says, still a thing or two for the experienced to learn. We never outgrow our need for learning. We never outgrow our need for further instructions. Now, this is a hard sell to this generation now because a lot of people think they already know more than they really know. So as a result of it, they don't see the necessity of being rightly instructed. And that's proven over and over and over again. But here we begin to look at the wisdom here. It is saying that even if you are experienced, there's still a lot to learn. But if you are inexperienced, you need to be taught the ropes. Whichever category you may find yourself in, inexperienced, being taught the ropes, or whether experienced, and yet a place where there's still a lot to learn. So what the Lord is helping us to understand is that when you posture yourself to be instructed, you're in the right place. There's a blessing in it when you're postured to hear the instructions of the Lord. So now, what the Lord is doing, I'm going to get back to these wisdom scriptures, but I want to just introduce it by starting where the book of Proverbs began. We're going to get back to it later, but I want to pick up something I said on Sunday because I want you to look at what God is doing even in relation to in the last days now. I want you to see where God is in the last days, what God is doing right here and now in relation to, let's say, a prophetic word that was spoken and how we're seeing that prophetic word being fulfilled in our day and time. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28, we mentioned this on Sunday where it says, and it shall come to pass when afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And then it says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now, when they prophesy, they're going to speak beyond the instructions. They're going to speak beyond the things that they had learned, because God would have entrusted them with a stewardship. God would have placed something inside of them that they are yet to learn themselves. But look what God is going to do. He's going to allow it to come out of your mouth even before it entered into your head. Isn't that something? Isn't that strange? See, God is so wise and so powerful and so knowledgeable that he will use you so that you are able to speak ahead of time. And then you have to catch up in your education to that which God had already spoken through you. That's a prophetic word. And understand this. This is what God is giving you. He is saying, I'm giving you. He said, in the last days, here's how it's going to happen. I'm going to give you a pass. I'm going to take you beyond your instruction. I'm going to take you beyond your learning. I'm going to pour out my spirit. My spirit. Understand this. The wisdom of God, all that God knows, will be poured out upon his people. And he said, it will be poured out upon all flesh. All flesh. That's young and old. That's rich and poor. Black, white, or whatever other culture you may be. He said, I'll pour out my spirit. You got to believe this now. Because if you don't believe it, you follow, then you're going to still be following the dictates of your own mind. But if you believe this, you believe that God is going to use people to speak into your life that which is beyond your intellect. He says, I will pour out my spirit afterwards upon all flesh. He said, your sons and your daughters. Listen to what he says here. He said, he's not saying you would think it would come from the aged. You would think it would come from those who are experienced. But he didn't say it's coming from them, did he? It's going to, something's going to come from them. But look what he said. He said, but I'm going to speak beyond your experience. I'm going to speak beyond your former references and all the other stuff. But I'm going to use your sons and your daughters. In other words, we're going to pay attention. You better pay attention. You better pay attention to what even your sons and your daughters have to say. Because in the last days, the Lord says he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And in that, your sons and daughters will speak ahead of time. They will have a message that all must adhere to. And if you dismiss it because you look at them as being too young, you miss God. If you say, well, that's nothing. They don't know enough. They've not been around long enough. You're going to miss out on what God has to say. Because your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons. Oh, I look forward to this. I look forward to seeing this on a level that we've not seen. It's already happening, but it's going to happen on a larger scale. He says, but not only that, he says, now your old men shall dream dreams. In other words, understand, they will dream dreams. They will begin to reflect upon God's intentions in relation to activities that are going on right now. Because in that dream, they will dream of that place and that condition that God would like to see set in order. It will come to them in dreams. You see, what God had in mind, the intentions of God, he will begin to give them dreams. Your old men shall dream dreams. He said, but when they dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. You see, now you will begin to see what it looks like, but they'll tell you how to get there. Are you seeing something here? See, this is what it looks like. I see a day where the people of God will be excited about him and righteousness will be the standard in which people will begin to gravitate towards. I see a time when we'll begin to see blacks and whites and people of every culture moving in the same direction, loving God and racism done away with. I see a day, I see a time, I have a dream, I have a dream, I have a dream. But the young men will say, I envision that we're going to have a meeting and we're going to tear down some walls right now. We're going to go into the neighborhoods and we're going to set up Bible studies in different places. We're going to, not only Bible studies, we're going to use innovative ways or means of reaching souls. We're going to use business. We're going to use entertainment. You've got to watch it now. Entertainment. We're going to use different things that, let's say, old men will begin to say, we've never seen it that way before. In fact, is this the gospel? How can it be the gospel? Because I thought the gospel was merely standing in the pulpit preaching. But they're coming up with these ideas that doesn't register with anything that we did in the past. What did you saw? You saw the outcome, but you didn't see the process. Now, don't look for the old man to give you the process. Don't look for the old man to begin to tell you the how-tos and the this is and the that. You do it this way, that way, and the other. Because what's going to happen is going to be some young men that God's going to place vision into their hearts and their souls and into their minds. And what's going to happen is still going to move us towards that end of that. We will get the result of what the old men dreamed of. I can't wait to get to the rest of this message to show you what I'm talking about here. But I want you to get this. That's why you understand what I say. It's not just we're not replacing the old man. We're not replacing the old for the new. But we're putting everybody in their proper place. We have to understand there's order. God is setting up an order. And when he set up this order, he's going to do a new thing. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't get so dismayed or disappointed because you're not holding on to your old position. And trying to squeeze life out of this thing that God is really by his spirit trying to accomplish. Because you can easily do that because your old thoughts and ideas can actually see the new becomes an enemy to the old. And when the Lord is saying, I'm giving you something, I'm going to do a new thing among you. And I'm going to have, young men will have vision. Young men will have vision. I'm going to teach you something. But old men will have dreams. He said, and then he says, then upon my manservant, and my maidservants, I will pour out of my spirit on that day. Now we begin to see everybody moving together. The maidservant, manservant, male, female. You see, not just men now. We say mankind, male, female. He will pour out his spirit on that day. So dreams not yet realized. Vision, young men shall envision. What old men had dreamed of. I don't know that song, so please. So now, Luke chapter 2, verse 40. Now we're getting into this. Let's look at Jesus first. Let's look at our example, Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. It says, and the child grew and became what? Strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He's a child now, and the child grew. So as the child grew, he became strong in spirit. This earthly ministry now, he became strong in spirit, but he was filled with wisdom. Now, I'm going to show you something about this, because that's a point I want to make in this that's going to help you see, understand what I'm saying here. He became filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. God graced him. The favor of God was upon him. Now, if you go down to the 51st verse, it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom. See, he was filled with wisdom, but down in the 51st verse, it says, and he increased in wisdom. See, he was filled with it, but even being filled was enough. He increased in wisdom, but not only in wisdom and understand, but being strong in spirit, evidence manifested that he was and who he was, and where he came from. That's what it means. He's strong in spirit. It was evidence manifested who he was and from where he came. But then it says here, wisdom and stature. If you look at this word stature here. He was also he increased in stature. This word stature, coming of age or maturity, commensurate to his age and beyond his age. Whatever age he was, his wisdom and everything was at least commensurate to that age. He was not in a place where his growth was stymied, where he was not progressing In other words, when you're 12 years old, you're supposed to act at least like a 12-year-old. If you're still acting like a 6-year-old and you're 12 years old, something's wrong, right? Something's wrong with a 12-year-old acting like a 6-year-old. So now he's not growing in stature. You don't just think in height when we talk about stature, because most of the time we think of stature, he grew in wisdom and stature. That meant he grew tall. But no, he grew commensurate to his age. He grew in wisdom and stature. But not only that, he grew in wisdom and stature so that his wisdom was beyond his age. He acted like he was older than he really was. Not old man broke down, but he spoke with such wisdom that it would astound those that would look at him and say, you're too young to know all the stuff that you know. You don't supposed to know this much because you're too young to know this. But yet he knew it. He knew it. You follow this? So he wasn't just a, he wasn't giddy and playful. He had fun, but he wouldn't get in playful to the extent that he didn't know how to take life seriously and how to handle affairs that need to be handled. But he grew in stature and favor with God and men, so that he had favor with both God and with men. Favor with God and men. In other words, they opened their hearts to him. When Jesus showed up, they opened their hearts to him to receive from him what God was offering through him. In other words, they didn't look at his age. The Bible says Paul told Timothy, let no man despise your youth. Timothy's a young man then. He wasn't a kid then, he was a young man. He said, let no one despise your youth. He said, don't be of such that they don't take you seriously because you're so giddy and so playful that they don't know when you're playing and when you're serious. Are you seeing this? Because there's a time to play. There's a time to have fun. There's time to get down to business as well. So now, that's what he was saying here. So he began to see him growing. Favor of God with God. So God was pleased, but he also, not a man pleaser, but understand this, but people opened their hearts to him. They were open to him. And that's where God wants us to be, where our hearts are. People open their hearts to us. You see, that the resistance is broken and people begin to open up to us. When you talk to them, you get to the place where they open up and they want to hear what you have to say. Are you hearing me now? You want to be at that place when you speak to somebody that they want to hear what you have to say, that you don't have to force them. So nobody will pay attention to me. No. Look here. Carry yourself in such a way that people will want to hear what you have to say. Okay. So now, let's go on. Now we begin to look at the strength can only be derived if we maintain a teachable heart. We have to always be teachable. Whenever you stop being teachable, you can't have that wisdom and strength. In other words, the Lord Jesus was always receiving instructions from his Father. Whatever his Father said, he would do. He was at a place where he was attentive. He was sensitive. He was responsive to the Father's bidding. That's how he gained wisdom and knowledge and strength. Because he'd been doing his own thing. He was doing what his daddy told him to do. He said, anything my father said do, I'll do it. And understand this, and I'm not doing it grudgingly. I'm doing it because I know my Father. Out of knowing him, I can respond to him. Are you saying this? And understand this, and we get to know him all the more when we're obedient. But as we're obedient, we become friends, and he showed more of himself to us. Now let's go on. Now we look at children. Children, let's look at children. You have to be a child before you are considered a son. A child. That's a whole teaching on that, where you talk about we were children and understand this whole thing. We were under tutors and all of this in Galatians. But I'm not going to go through all of that. I'm just going to give you a few scriptures in Galatians. But because this is what he says to children in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. He says, my little babies. I love the way Paul did it. Paul, look at this love. It's like he's having a lot of people that just gave their lives to the Lord. And he looked at them. He said, my little babies. He looked at them as little babies. He said, these are my babies here. Now, in other words, this is my nursery. This is his nursery. He said, I travail in prayer. I travail in prayer for you. I labor in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I travail. I'm praying to God. Understand this. And I continue to do it. I labor again that Christ. And then understand, he's looking at nursery. And some folk were still in the nursery that ought to have been out of nursery a long time ago. But look at his love. My little babies, look at the passion. My little babies, you're still a baby, little children. He said, I travail in pain again that Christ be formed in you. I'll keep praying that one day, my little babies, that you'll get it. He said, I've been around a long time. No, my babies. Babies, come on, baby. Now, that'd be insulting to some people. Who you think you are calling me a baby? I'm older than you are. I've been around longer than you've been around. That had nothing to do with it. If you're not growing in grace, knowledge, stature, and fear the Lord, my little babies, come on, babies. He said, at the time I would that you be teachers yourselves, but you're in need of milk because you're still at that place of not understanding. You see, because strong meat belongs to those of full age. By reason of youth, youths have their senses exercised because now they're able to make choices, right choices. Based upon the information given, they make choices from that basis. He said, but you can't make a choice yet as to whether this is right, this is wrong, or whether to go left or right. He said, babies, come. He said, come, babies. He said, I travail in birth again that Christ be formed in you. I would venture to say at that point, he's giving a gentle speech. He's using his gentle voice. He said, I would love to present with you now and to change my tone. This is what he says. I would like to present with you now and to change my tone. He said, but I can't talk like this. I have doubts about you. I must speak this way. Because if I speak too loudly, and if I shout too strongly, if I speak too harshly, I'll run you away. See, you'll take flight. So I must tell you, babies, I don't want to startle you. You walk into a room and the child is in the crib and you walk in, hey, Junior, get up from there. And you'll startle the child. You'll ruin. You see, his whole psychologically, you've messed him up. Why? Because he can't handle that kind of order. But you talk to soldiers differently, right? Attention! I said left, not right. I said stand here, not there. Don't talk to me in that tone. Because you hurt my feelings. Oh, babies, I travail in birth again to Christ be formed in you. You see that? Now, I'm going to get to the wisdom part, but let's look at how he dealt with this. Then he talks about children again in John. First John 2 and 1. He says the same thing. My little children. He said, these things I write to you that you may not sin. Because understand, they're at this place that I'm writing this because there's this propensity to move into sin. But I'm writing this that you might not sin. And he said, but even if you sin, even if you miss it, if you mess up, I want you to know, babies, I want you to know this, that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Look at his gentle voice now. This is John now speaking. He said, I know you're about to mess up. You're about to cross that line. But let me tell you something. I'm telling you, don't do it because it's going to cause you some harm. You follow this? It would take more for a person that's mature to be brought to that level of compromise. But we're talking about a baby that's on the precipice of falling off. So what do you say? Babies, don't do it. But if you do, don't run away from me. I'm still your daddy. Are you hearing something now? So then he says, you have an advocate of Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. And then he goes on to the third chapter of 1 John, and verse 18. He says, my little babies, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue only, but in deed and in truth. Don't just let it be conversation among us, but let's move towards acting upon what we say. And by this we know that we are the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. But if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. He's talking to his little children. I speak to my little children. Now he's saying this. He said, because you were birthed from, out of the message. He said, there was something that God gave me that sparked something within your heart to respond. He says, so I'm talking to my children. I'm not talking to the neighbor's children. I'm not talking to somebody else's kids. I'm talking to my children, the ones that I've been given the responsibility to raise. That's what he is saying. That's what John is saying. But John is seeing more than they're seeing, but he's helping to lead them into an understanding, guide them into understanding of what he sees. But understand this, he's doing it because as children, when they grow up, growing in wisdom, stature, knowledge of the Lord, what's going to happen? The sons, and they will become sons and daughters that will excel, and their efforts will exceed beyond their teacher. That's his objective. He said, I want you to go past me. I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get to that now. Let's move on. Because for the sake of time, let's move fast now. Here in Proverbs, I got to get to sons now. Let's go. Let's look at here. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. We mentioned Proverbs earlier. Now we begin to look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. And he says here, my son, he said, hear the instruction of your father. Listen to what your daddy has to say. He said, and do not forsake the law of your mother, because the instructions of your father become law in the mouth of your mother. Are you seeing something here? So what your father is saying, the mother is reinforcing. So as a result of it, understand this. There are boundaries that's being established by the parents that the children are yet to walk in. He says, so now, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Go back and reflect on what your dad was saying, because he was giving you some words of wisdom. He said, and don't forsake the law, because when he speaks, he's giving law to the household. He said, don't forsake the law of your mother. He said, because listen to what they're going to do for you now. They weren't given to you out of hatred, out of anger, or any other reason. They were given to you because God gave you parameters in which your life is to operate. And life won't work right unless those parameters are established in your life. He says, for they will be graceful ornaments on your head. In other words, understand this, a crown of glory, graceful ornaments on your head. And he said, and a chain, not a chain of weight, but a chain, an ornament, or a chain of honor around about your neck. You don't buy gold chains in order to express the fact that you are a slave. You wear that gold chain because you want to, you're showing it off. You say, look, this thing is looking good. It's part of my decor. Or if you get, or you get a ward and you put this on and you wear that badge of honor and it has a chain, doesn't it? You don't walk around and say, oh, I'm enslaved because it's chain. No, it's something that's honorable. Let's move on now. So do we get to see? He said, my son now, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol. Now that's what the enemy is trying to entice the son away from the instructions of the father. But understand what you have to do. Your objective. Let's go to the next verse in there. Let us swallow them alive like a shield. And a whole
and whole, like those who go down to the pit. Now, the next verse. Okay. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our house with spoil. You see what it's saying? So this person is looking at ways or means of taking advantage of someone else. Next verse, and it says, cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. So let me just stop here. What it's saying, now some other influence has taken over your life rather than the influence of home. Now listen to what it says here. So then, if you go to the next, I'm just for the sake of time, let's move on. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. He says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom. Listen to this. First of all, you take my words and treasure my commandments within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, we mentioned this maturity, you can discern. If you cry out so that you can make right decisions and lift up your voice for understanding, because to say that, you must acknowledge the fact that you don't have it. But you desire what you don't have, but you recognize only God can give it. You follow this, only God can give it, and he will give it through the vessels that he placed in your life. He says, so now you cry out for that. He says, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, look what will happen now. And you say, I'm not just going to take lightly the words that you speak, but just like a prophetic message spoken. You understand, fathers bless their children before they die. They say, give me my blessing, speak a word over my life so that I can hold on to that, because my destiny is really, really determined. It is contained within those words that you speak. He says, so now search for them with treasure. He said, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Because understand, there's a connection between this and the Lord. You will have an understanding of the fear of the Lord, because your attitude towards the Lord is expressed towards you through your attitude towards those that give you instructions. He said, you'll understand the fear of the Lord. And what will happen, and when you get the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. He said, then you will find the knowledge of God. God will, he will give you his knowledge. You see, the knowledge of God is yours. For the Lord gives wisdom. That's where it comes from. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. It only comes from him, because he knows all. Prophetic words spoken through a young person, I said that already, beyond their knowledge, beyond the understanding, but your young men shall prophesy. And then it says, now let's go back to the old man now. We're going back and forth. I'm just going through Proverbs. Proverbs 16, 31. It said, the silver-haired, or I think the Bible, one scripture says, a hoary-headed. I think that's in the King James. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of, where's that? In the way of righteousness. If it's found the way of righteousness, you see, it becomes a crown of glory only if it's found in the way of righteousness. If it's not in the way of righteousness, there's no glory in it. You got old, and understand, you can be a young fool and you can be an old fool. But when you become silver haired, it becomes a crown of glory. Why? Because as you grew older, you were seeking the way of righteousness and you understood all the more the way of righteousness. And then Proverbs 20, verse 29, it says, the glory, listen to this one now, the glory of young men is their strength. The glory of young men is the fact they have vision and strength to carry it out. But watch this, and the splendor of old men is their gray head, is the fact that they, but you have to take that and tie it to 1631. If it's found a way of righteousness, the splendor of old men is the fact that as they grew older in their pursuit for righteousness, they began to envision. You see that whole thing of dreaming? They saw that standard clearer than they would have seen it otherwise. In other words, that standard. And here's what, it becomes a check and a balance for the young man with strength and with vision. Because you say, well, you can still be creative, you can still be expressive, but then when it crossed the line of righteousness, that old man is there, it's a check and a balance. He said, now you're kind of going too far into this thing. You're showing too much flesh now. You know, you were all right when you were moving, but now you're showing too much flesh. Now watch those words. You can't get up here and use that kind of language. I know you want to relate, but you can't say it that way. You follow? That's because what happens, we're keeping you on the path of righteousness. While you're being, that's narrow and wide. You see, the narrow way, but yet it opens up all kind of opportunities as you go into the ways of God. So now, those who are taught rightly or equipped to stand boldly. I want you to see this. When you're taught rightly, then you can be bold. This is what it says here in Proverbs 23, verse 15. He says, my child, if your heart is wise, my own heart will rejoice. Are you seeing this? I'm reading this out of the Living Bible. I'm reading a Living Bible. It says here, Living Translation. It says, my child, if your heart is wise, my own soul rejoices. My heart rejoices over the fact that you're wise. Now, we're talking about the father saying concerning his child, I rejoice when your heart is wise. Everything in me will celebrate when you speak what is right. Can you imagine this? When you put your son or your daughter out there, and your son and your daughter can speak what is right, make the daddy proud. See, I put my son and my daughter in front of any of y'all because I know what he or she's going to say. They're going to represent. They're going to represent. I know that. You see, that make a dad proud. You said, what happened? You get into the argument, debate, and then you say, son, this person want to talk to you. And you step back. You say, well, I know this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun here because I know how he's raised. I know how she's raised. I know the kind of instructions that they've received. I know how they handle themselves. I know what they represent. So what you do, you step back. This is going to be fun. He's going to tear you up. He's going to wear you out, you see, because what happens, he know in whom he believes. She know whom she believes. And the Lord's going to use him or her mightily in dealing with this thing. So understand, it's everything in me celebrates. And it also, when one is that way. 27. I'm reading this out of the Living Bible as well as the New King James. It says, 27:11. He says, my son, be wise and make my heart glad. That's Proverbs 27:11. My son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer him who reproaches me. Because here's someone who is reproaching me. Because what I've imparted, what contribution have I really made towards the future? Because they're saying, you didn't represent anything. You didn't stand for anything. But then I said, yes, I did. Look at my sons and look at what was produced in me and through me. These are my sons and my daughters. But without it, barrenness is a reproach. You see, when you're not producing anything, then that becomes reproach. It says here in the Living Bible, it says, my son, how happy I will be if you turn out to be sensible. If you start making some sense, it makes my heart happy. It will be a public honor to me to know that you know what to say and that you make some sense. He said, I'm honored in that. Because now you figured this thing out on your own. I mean, you have yielded yourself to the Lord and understand this, and you can stand on your own. I'm here to counsel. I'm here to advise. But you don't need me to manage your life or to control your life. But you can have your own now, you see. And I call you, this is my son. I'm so happy that my son has grown up. to be able to handle his own affairs. Now, if you go to the New Living Translation again, in Ezekiel, because I'm going to show you a situation similar to that. And I'm going to read it out of the King James, New King James first, and then I'm going to read something else out of that. But it says here in Ezekiel 24, verse 25, Ezekiel 24, 25, it says, "And you, son of man, will it not be in the day when I take from them their stronghold?" Now, this is the opposite now. This is the opposite, because there's also another group that's bragging, another group that's proud. Who is that? That's the sons of the devil, the sons of darkness, the sons of the arrogant, the sons of the conceited, the sons of those who think they have the advantage. And what they do, they smear it in the face of the righteous. Are you saying that? Because what happens, the daddy has misrepresented, so the sons grow up and continue to misrepresent because they give an expression of the will of their fathers. They just like your dad. You just like your daddy. That's what Jesus said to what? Say, you're like your father, the devil. So now let's listen to what God's going to do with that. The sons of light and the sons of darkness grow up. Now we look at the sons of darkness here in Ezekiel 24, 25. "And you, son of man, will it not be in the day when I take from them their stronghold?" I'm going to take their joy and their glory. He said, "The desire of their eyes, and that on which they set their minds." What they set their minds? Their sons and their daughters. Because everybody wants to see their children excel. At least sensible people want to see their children excel. "But I will take what they glory in." The joy of their glory, the desire of their eyes, the children that they have poured into, that have really risen up to come against me. "I will take it from them. On that day, one who escapes will come to you to let you hear it with your ears. On that day," listen to this now, "your mouth will be open to him who has escaped. You shall speak and no longer be mute." God's going to give you a voice then. "Thus you will be a sign to them, and they shall know that I am the Lord." Because understand, the children of righteousness, the children of God, is going to have a word for the children of the devil. And it's going to be a strong message. They won't be able to stand toe-to-toe with you, because understand, the wisdom of God will be yours. That's the prophetic now. Now he told Samuel, this is Samuel now. I mean, Lemuel, King Lemuel's mother taught here in Proverbs 23, 24. Proverbs 23, 24. I'm still in Proverbs now. 23, 24. This is King Lemuel's mother taught him something. And the father, this is what he says here. He said, "The father of godly children has cause for joy." The father of godly children has cause for joy. This is New Living Translation again. It says, "What a pleasure to have children who are wise." What a pleasure to have children who are wise. "So give your father and your mother joy." They put that with an exclamation point at the end. "Give your father and your mother joy. May she who gave birth be happy. Oh, my son, give me your heart. May your eyes take delight in following my ways." He says, "Oh, my son, give me your heart. Give me your heart." He says, "I will not break your heart if you give me a heart. But if you don't give me your heart is going to be broken." Are you hearing this? You're going to have a broken heart, because the world is going to break your heart. The world is going to break your heart. And then he says, so that's the plea. He said, this is what a mother taught the king. The king, now understand, she's raising a king, so she's not raising a pauper. She's not raising a deadbeat. She's raising a king. So she began to tell this king, he said, the father of godly children have caused joy. So, what a pleasure. We have to raise some kings now. What a pleasure to have children who are wise. So give your father and your mother, so give your father and mother joy. May she who gave birth be happy. Oh, my son, give me your heart. May you take delight in my ways. May you find joy in my ways. Proverbs 24, 21. Just go down to 24, 21. New Living Translation. My child, fear the Lord and the king. That's authority, right? Don't associate with rebels.
for disaster will hit them suddenly. If you associate with rebels, their doom is sealed. And guess what? You're going down with them. Who knows what punishment will come from the Lord and the king? You're going to get in trouble with man and God because you're running with the wrong crowd. You see, you would not listen, and you've taken company with the wrong crowd. He said, so what's going to eventually happen? You're going to be in trouble with the Lord and the king. Then 31:1. I'm almost done. 31:1, Proverbs 31:1. It says, the word of King Lemuel, same king. Now, he's talking now, which his mother taught him. Who's teaching him now? His mother set him down. She's raising a king now. So she has some instructions for a king. So King Lemuel's mother taught him. And then the writer of Proverbs is quoting what the mother taught the king. He said, what, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women. Uh-oh, I better leave that alone, right? Can I go further? Am I okay? He says, do not give your strength to women. Do not give your strength to women. Don't let women rob you of your virtue. Brothers, did you hear anything? Don't let women rob you of your virtue. Don't surrender your strength to women. Because understand what the enemy would try to do, he will use, because men are vulnerable to women. What can get to a man quicker than anything else is a woman. You know that? And what happens? If people say, I'm the head, but she the neck. Guess what can happen? She can turn that head in different directions, because there are things that she can do and say that can get you to a place where you know you might be the head, but you're going in a different direction than you otherwise would go. Don't give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. Kings and kingdoms were brought down as a result of manipulation. You know the rest of this. I won't have to go that deep into this. But there we begin to see what he is saying. The thing that destroys kings, the thing that will get you off vision, the thing that will destroy all that God was desiring to build in your life, to move you in that particular direction, could very well be that you surrendered your strength. Don't surrender your strength. Let's go on now. Let me move on. Then he says, I'm going to talk some more about men. And now, let's talk to men. Titus chapter 2, verse 6. Likewise, exhort young men, be sober-minded. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. We're talking to the brothers. A pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say. So it is saying, young men, you have to be very careful how you talk. Be sober-minded. Be sober-minded. You can't just, I love sports too. I love having fun too. But you got to be sober-minded. You have to be sober-minded. Don't be so giddy. Don't be giddy. But be sober-minded. In all things, showing yourselves a pattern of good works. Understand what your assignment is. Be faithful and true to your assignment. In doctrine, show integrity. Make sure when you speak, you're speaking as oracles of God. Don't just give your opinions. And don't allow your opinion to be swayed by popular opinion. But showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. Corruptibility means you let something corrupt your mind. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, because understand, it can withstand the scrutiny of argument and the like. Not that you could become so argumentative that you can win at every debate, but understand, it won't sway you, because even if they get you to a place where you don't have the answer, I still know what I believe. I don't know the answer, but I know what I believe. I know because the knower is on the inside of me. It may put to shame. You see, who is an opponent may be put to shame. Eventually, they'll be ashamed, having nothing evil to say. And then the last scripture, 1 John 2 and 13. He wrote a letter. He said, I write to you fathers. I write a letter to you daddies. Daddy, you got a responsibility. But I'm writing you now because you have known him who is from the beginning. I'm writing you a letter, dads. Now, we're talking about spiritual dads. We're talking about those that have walked with God, those who have their senses exercised and you're developing spiritually in the things of God. I write unto you, dads, because you have known him who is from the beginning. In other words, the Lord has revealed himself to you as the I am. You see him as the eternal father. You see him as the eternal father. God has made that known to you. Now that's a lot to understand here. That you see him as the everlasting father, the eternal father. That every derivative, you see, I pray unto the father in whom the whole family of heaven and earth are named. So I am a father because he is my father. You see that? So we understand this. So what he is saying, you have known him who is from the beginning. Him who is from the beginning. And then he says, and now I write unto you, young men. Now he wrote to the fathers, same letter now. I write unto young men because you have overcome the wicked one. Your strength has brought you to a place where you have overcome the wicked one. And then he says, I write to you little children. And I'm talking to my babies. Because here's what happens. He says, you have known the Father. But how did you know the Father? How did you know the Father? Wait a minute. I write it to you fathers because you've known him who is from the beginning. But I write it to you little children because you've known the Father. Because you see the Father in your father. Are you seeing something here? See, you see the father. A godly father is the illustration of the heavenly father. But if you misread it, you'll miss God in the process. God is trying to show you something of who he is through your earthly father. But you'll miss it and you won't see the father unless you see your father. So I write unto you little children because you've known the Father. When he says little children, that's all of us. We were all, or we all are little children, or we all were little children. But what happens, he is saying, now, how do you see the Father? How do you see the Father? How do you view the Father? Have you misjudged the Father? Have you misjudged him? Or have you seen him as he really is? I write to you, fathers, because you've known him who is from the beginning. He said that again. I write to you, fathers, because, first of all, because you've known him who's from the beginning. I want to say it again. He says, and then I've written to young men. He said, this time, he says, because you are strong. Young men, because you're strong. Because he said, first, you've overcome the wicked one, but now, because you're strong. Young men have strength. And the word of God abides in you. If the word of God isn't abiding in you, understand there's something missing in your strength. There's something missing in your quest. But I'm writing it to you because the word of God abides in you. And since the word of God abides in you and the word of God is your strength, now you have overcome the wicked one. Now, as a result of that, you have overcome the wicked one. Why? With the word of God that is your strength. You see, it's the word that's your strength. The word, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, is your strength. God has given you something to work with so that you can exercise strength. And understand, that strength is for the battle. That strength is for the battle. You maintain strength in the battle. But look what happens also. But you also have strength for future battles. So whatever is coming down the pike, you're prepared. You're prepared for it. See, that's what God is doing. So in other words, this battle is preparing you for the next battle. What you're going through now is preparation for what you're going to have to face then. But if you're not handling this, you won't be positioned to handle that. So what are you saying, young man? Gird up the loins. Put on your strength. Recognize, I'm talking young men, young women, young at heart, those who can see this and know this, understand. Put on your strength. Understand, you can win this battle. Because God is with you. God is working in you. But also realize, this battle is only preparation for future battles. But if God can give you strength to overcome the lion and the bear, and then you find yourself facing an uncircumcised man. A bear is an animal. A lion is an animal. A giant is a man. He has a soul just like I have a soul. He's supposed to have surrendered his heart and life to the Lord, just like I surrendered my heart and life to the Lord. But he's out of covenant. He could have been in covenant, but he's not in covenant. So one outside of covenant, what kind of match can he be with one that's in covenant? So what happens if he let me kill a lion and a bear? This is going to be a cakewalk here, facing a giant. He's only big in size, but he has no strength to oppose the strength of our God. So you, young men, we depend, young women, we're depending on you. We're trusting that you're going to take this thing where it's supposed to go. And let me tell you something. We've already dreamed about it. We dreamed about you. We dreamed that the day would come when you would rise up and do what God desires to see done. But now that time has come for our young men and women to be all that the Lord would have for you to be. So thank you, Lord, for your strength. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for the courage that you will give those who are young to take on the enemy and be courageous in battle. My prayer, Lord, is that the dreams of our fathers, the dreams of our ancestors, those that had God-inspired dreams will be fulfilled through those that have vision and can see what you're revealing in this day and this hour. So with this in mind, we give you the honor and we give you the praise for all that you're doing in this day. And we thank you for the victory, because the victory is ours. In Jesus' name, amen.